Colossians chapter 4, we're noting in verse number 2 through verse number 4, this is what the Bible says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Today I want to bring to you the last message in the series, Real Church. We have looked at different topics of what the Word of God has to say about what real church should look like and how we should operate and how we should function. But today we want to look at the subject matter of real prayer. What is the spark plug that sets the work of the church in motion? Now you may think it is preaching, soul winning, fellowship. But without prayer, all of those activities are powerless. Prayer is the spark plug that sets the work of the church in motion. The late A.J. Gordon said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. And so today, from this passage of Scripture, I want to set before you the challenge to pray. And let me ask you before we dive into this, are you satisfied with your prayer life? Look this way, your preacher is not satisfied with his prayer life. Now, I'm not saying by that I do not pray. I pray. I have preached many times on the subject of prayer. I've read many books on the subject of prayer. But I think about all the things that we are called to do in the Christian life, and I strive to do those things. But in this particular area, quite frankly, I am not satisfied. I want to grow more in my area of my prayer life. I want to really know what it is to praise and pray and really grow in this area of prayer. And I trust that as a church, we are not satisfied with our level of prayer life. Many times a church can get active in doing many things, again, good things, but I want you to think, because it's just us here this morning, but think about many times, how often is prayer emphasized within our church as an organized activity? Then think about this, as you hear about other churches, not that we're trying to measure ourselves up against other churches, but I'm just trying to make a point. How many times do you hear of other churches really emphasizing the practice of prayer? If you read the book of Acts, you will see that the early church definitely emphasized the practice of prayer. Many years removed now from the early church to this day, may I say that if there's one thing that the church really needs to get back to, it is the practice of prayer. And we find that the Apostle Paul was a man who definitely was committed to prayer in his own individual life. He was a man committed to prayer within the church. He challenged churches to be given over to prayer. And so today I want us to look at verse 2, 3, and 4 and notice what the Bible has to say to us about this matter of real prayer. First of all, notice with me if you would in verse number 2, the first three words, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. So first of all, be committed to pray. Continue. Stay at it. Don't get discouraged. Don't get defeated in your prayer life. That is so easy for me to say, but I tell you at times we do get discouraged and sometimes we do get defeated in our prayer life. And we heed the several commands that are given to us, and this one right here, continue in prayer. For instance, Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1 that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. We are to be given over to prayer is what Jesus taught us. He was a great example of that. He would rise up early in the day and oftentimes go to a solitary place and pray for hours before he got into the busy ministry of the day. He often would do that. He'd go get alone with the Father. He emphasized prayer. He lived prayer. You move then to the book of Acts, and you'll find in Acts chapter 1 that there are 120 people gathered there. They are praying. They are waiting. As Jesus said, I want you to wait there until you be endued with power from on high, until the Holy Spirit comes. Well, in Acts chapter 2, you find that the Holy Spirit did come on that day of Pentecost, and you'll find that Peter stood up and preached, and 3,000 souls were saved. What a great moment that was, but it was due in large part to 120 people, one being obedient, but two, people just waiting before God and seeing what God was going to do. You move to Acts chapter 3 and you see Peter and John going to the temple at the hour of prayer. I really do believe that they were going there to pray, but as they went there, they met a man who was crying out for alms, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he did. He not only rose up and walked, but he leaped and was running and was just praising God because of what had taken place in his life. In Acts chapter 4, you will find then the church again gathered together as they are praying. Acts chapter 4 says that they were, the Holy Spirit of God filled them and they spake the word of God. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Over and over and over throughout the book of Acts, you will see an early church that was given over to the practice of prayer. Look in chapter 4 of Colossians in verse number 12. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. I wonder, could anybody say that of us? That we are always laboring fervently for people in prayer? Epaphras was a man like that. He was a servant of Christ, but he was a man who was living out what verse number 2 says. He was continuing in prayer. He was laboring fervently in prayer for people. You see, over and over throughout Scripture, the Bible tells us that we are to continue in prayer. We are to pray without what? We are to pray without ceasing. So here we see that there is the examples given to us in Scripture of people who just continued in prayer. But then there is the encouragement to continue in prayer. You see, praying keeps us from misunderstanding God's will. Now, I'm not saying that when you pray, you're just going to quickly and automatically understand what God's will is at that very moment. But I'm going to say this, that you're not going to know the will of God aside from prayer. You've got to bathe yourself in prayer. With the decisions that you face in life, it is important for you to spend time before God in prayer. You say, preacher, have you ever misread God's will in prayer? Yes, I have. But here's what I also know. I'm not going to know the will of God if I do not pray. I will be leaning on my own understanding, what I think would be best, only to find out when it's all said and done, I got what I wanted to see done, but not what God wanted to see done. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. And so we need to have this encouragement to just pray. And as we pray, it helps us understand God's will and it can keep us from misunderstanding God's will. Did you hear about the man who needed some food? Well, he thought what he would do, he would go to a home and ask if they had something he could do to earn a meal or two. Well, the man of the house said that he had been planning to paint the porch out back and had not found the time. So the poor man took a paint can and brush and headed out back. In 30 minutes, he was back. The owner said, are you through already? The poor man replied, sure am. The owner said, "You mean to tell me you have painted that porch already?" The poor man said, "Yes, sir, I finished it all right." Of course, it was a Porsche. It wasn't a Porsche, it was a Mercedes. You see, the man misunderstood. If we are going to pray continually, we got to be a people who are praying continually so that one of the reasons that we know what God's will is. Be committed to pray. Are you continuing in prayer? But then notice, if you would, in verse number 2 as well, he gives us another command, and that is not only continue in prayer, but watch in the same with thanksgiving. So we need to be committed to pray. We need to be cautious in prayer. He says here, watch. Be watchful in your time of prayer. A little boy had asked his dad for a watch. The family was quite poor, something the little fellow just could not understand. The father tried to put the boy off by telling him that he could have a watch when he got older. The little boy just kept asking for a watch and just kept asking. Finally, the mother took the little boy aside and told him to stop asking for a watch since his father could not afford one for them. Persistent youth just kept asking. Finally, they made a rule in the house. The watch could not be mentioned. That night, the little child asked if he could quote a Bible verse during devotions. Every parent's dream, right? Man, my child's finally got it. He wants to quote a Bible verse. Well, the parents let him do it. And he then quoted from Mark 13:37, "And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." Well, obviously, that is not what the Bible is teaching here. Watch in the same when you are continuing in prayer. Watch in the same. We must watch over our prayer life so that nothing hinders our prayers. Let me give you at least three things that can hinder our prayer life. One, a very obvious one, but that is unconfessed sin. The Bible tells us in Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now, it didn't say he might hear me. He says he will not hear me. So if in our lives we know that there is some sin in our life that we need to deal with, that we need to confess, that we need to turn away from, and we are choosing not to do that, then God is saying to us, if we are regarding that sin, if we are holding on to that sin, even though we, quote, are praying, then he says, I will not hear. I don't know about you. I don't want to just go through an exercise just to say I went through it. I want to be able to pray and be able to know that when I pray, I have a hearing from God. Don't you? I want to know that God is listening. I want to know that God is hearing my prayer. Well, I do know this, that if I'm regarding sin in my life, if I'm not dealing with sin in my life, if I'm not turning away from sin, God is putting up a deaf ear. God is not listening to my prayer until at such time I pray the prayer like David did, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Now God is listening. Now God is hearing David. But in that time in his life, God was not listening because David chose rather to regard the sin. David chose rather to cover the sin. But if I regard it in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So in your life, is there some sin that you need to deal with that God is saying, hold it, there's an error in your life that you need to turn away from, that you need to confess, you need to agree with me that it is sin and say, Lord, I want to turn away from it. I agree with you that it is sin. Until you do, you might as well pray to the wall because God is not hearing. But oh, the sweet joy that comes in our life when we deal with the sin. When we get right with the Lord. When we agree with Him about it. Because the psalmist said in Psalm 32, blessed is the man whose sin is covered, whose transgression is forgiven. Oh, what a place to be in our life. So that when I pray, I can pray with full knowledge that my sin has been dealt with, taken care of, and I can have sweet fellowship with the Lord in prayer. The second thing that will hinder our prayer life is unforgiveness. Jesus taught in Mark 11, 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. When we have an unforgiving spirit towards someone, and we are not willing to make it right, and we're not willing to go to them and do what we can to reconcile and deal with that issue, then again, this hinders prayer. Because how can you be right this way if you're wrong this way? I'm going to go meddling a little bit. You can't be this way right if your marriage is not right. Amen. You see, it tells us over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Can't remember the rest of it, but here I do remember the end of it. So that your prayers be not hindered. Many times when prayer is preached and taught, we'll list a lot of sins of, you know, this will hurt you, you know, in your prayer life, and this will hurt you. But do you know that if husbands and wives are not right, God is saying it will hinder your prayer life? Because again, if I can't be right this way, I can't pray this way. I got to be right this way. And so when we think about this, is there anyone in your life, your mom, your dad, brother, sister, some relative, coworker, a friend, a school, is there someone that you hold a spirit of unforgiveness toward? If so, deal with that, because a spirit of unforgiveness will hinder your prayer life. And then thirdly, the third thing that will hinder your prayer life is wrong motives. Wrong motives. James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, man, if I could just win the lottery. Boy, I'll pray I'll win the lottery. And I'll tell you what, preacher, the first thing that'll happen is I'll give X amount to the church. I'm thinking, go ahead and start giving now. Don't wait. I don't know whether you're going to win that or not, but I tell you, think about that. Lord, I want to win the lotto. Do you know it's a proven thing that many people who have won the lotto and have won the lotto are broke? So tell me, did it really help them to win the lotto? No. They didn't know how to handle their money anyway. So when they got it, they abused it. They misused it. Now think about this. I just use it as an illustration. Sometimes when we pray, we don't get answers to prayer because we're just trying to consume it upon our lust. It's all selfish praying. I'm not saying that you can't pray for yourself. I think there is room for that in our life. Lord, touch me, heal me. Nothing wrong with that. Lord, provide for our needs and our family. There's nothing wrong with that. But just praying so that it advances you, so you can consume it upon your lust, he's saying, that's why you ask but you don't receive. Because you're asking from a point of selfishness. It's a wrong motive. So there's many other things I could mention here, church, but I say here, according to this verse, we're to continue in prayer. Be committed to prayer, yes. But be committed as well to be cautious in your prayer life, to watch. Watch for unconfessed sin. Watch for unforgiveness. Watch for wrong motives. Watch for these things. But then he says this in the same verse. Not only be watchful, but be thankful. Notice what he says here. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. Turn with me over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Some of you know this by heart, but notice now. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Similar in a way, even though there was more words, similar to what he's saying back in Colossians 2:4, and watching the same with thanksgiving, here he's saying, be careful for nothing, don't worry about anything, but in everything pray. And while you're praying, go ahead and just give thanks as you're letting your requests be made known unto God. You know, there is something I believe, and I believe it's very biblical for us when we're praying and we're asking, that we could just go ahead and say, Lord, and thank you for the answer that is already on the way. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are you thankful in prayer? Because you see, he says, be committed to pray, but while you're committed to pray, also be an individual that's very careful in your prayer life. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. How quick are you, and I asked this a couple of Wednesday nights ago in one of our studies, how quick are you when God answers your prayer to give him thanks? I trust you're quick to do it. I trust that you just don't go around and say, yes, and then walk away and forget that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, who is worthy, by the way, of all of our thanksgiving. So you ask, God provided. Now, don't miss this important step. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Because you see, he says here, I want you to be watchful. I want you to be thankful. An unthankful spirit comes from a heart, a proud heart, and a prayerless life. May we be a thankful people in prayer. Hey, and not only for the good things, but for the difficult things in our life. Wow, that's a tough one, isn't it? We can sure praise him and thank him when how he provides the good things in our life, but what about when the difficult times come? What about those moments? Do you pause and say, Lord, I just want to say thank you. I don't understand what you're doing, but I know you're up to something. And Lord, I want to thank you for putting me where I am at this time in my life. Some of you, I can only go back 2 years ago, but being told I was to have open heart surgery, you know, that isn't like just getting a splinter taken out, just in case you wanted to know. I mean, that's major. That's huge. But as I was waiting those 4 days before surgery, I so remember the verse that God gave to me from the Psalms. And I clung to that verse throughout those days in the hospital. That God will help those and uphold those that help me. And I just clung to that. And I think, and I, as I'm laying there in the hospital bed, anticipating the moment, I'm just giving thanks to the Lord. Someone told me this morning, they said, Pat, they were telling me about some of their problems they're going through, and they said, I hope I'm not sounding like I'm complaining, because I know there's people that have it much worse. And isn't that true? There's always people that have it much worse. But we thank God when it's good. We need to thank him when it's difficult. I know that's a little bit more difficult for us to do, but we need to do it. Watch in the same with thanksgiving, because if we're not careful, what we'll do is we will grumble and we will complain. And if we're not careful, it can go even this far, and I hope it's never gone this far in your life, where you get bitter at God and you just blame God. Where does that start? You ever wonder about that, particularly in a Christian's life? How did they get to that point? I think part of it is They didn't recognize the control of God in their life, and they failed to just give Him thanks at the front end of that. And they got bitter toward Him. God doesn't want us bitter. He wants us to be careful, be cautious, be watchful in the same with thanksgiving. Now notice thirdly, verse 3 and verse number 4. Be committed in prayer. Be cautious in prayer. Now notice this one. Be concerned in prayer. Verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. What is he doing here? He is crying out to the believers at Colossae to pray for him, pray for these fellow workers with Paul, pray for us that God would open up a door of opportunity for us, that we would be able to manifest the mystery of Christ, that we would be able to preach. He's saying, pray for us. Pray then, if you would, first of all this morning, pray for the opportunities. As Paul was asking them to pray for him, I think likewise we can pray and ask God for opportunities for us to advance the gospel. That's why we are here, church, I remind you. We're not here to just be saved and comfortable and one day wait till Jesus comes and go on. We've got a job to do. We have a ministry to do. But we can't do it without prayer. And I think here, as Paul prayed, he's praying, I want you to pray for us that God would open up a door of utterance. So likewise, I tell you, church, in my own personal life, this has been a habit in the last couple of years that God has developed in me, and that is that I pray for entries, quote-unquote, into people's lives. There's three individuals that I'm currently working with right now, and I pray for open doors, entries into their lives, that God would open that door, because you see, I could go in and try to knock the door down. And I've done that. And I've seen what that can do. But so far better to allow the Holy Spirit of God to open the door and walk through that door. And then when that happens, you're able to speak the Word of God with boldness. So I want to encourage you this morning, as you think about this matter of witnessing that I preached about a few weeks ago, that you just pray for entries into people's lives. You may know their name. You may even know where they live, but now pray that God would open up a door of entry into their life, that you could step into that. Hey, and when God does that, this is again just for me, I don't pray that just once for that individual. I'll pray that several times. That God would open that door again, that I could speak the gospel to them. God open that door again, that I could speak the gospel to them. I'm praying for the opportunities. Some of you have heard me quote this for many years now. Move men to God through prayer. And here he is praying for the opportunity. Say, church, I want you to pray for us that God would open that door of utterance. Likewise, may you pray today for God to open a door of opportunity for you. A door of entry into someone's life that you could step into and be a blessing, be a help to them, point them to Jesus. When was the last time you've ever done that? But not only pray for the opportunities, but notice verse 4, pray for the ability. Because it's one thing to pray, but you need to pray for the ability. Notice what he says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Look at verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Oh, Paul was a great orator. Paul was a great theologian. Paul was a very educated man. He could really blow a lot of people away, so to speak. But here was a man who really, as he was praying for a door of utterance, he was saying, pray that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. In other words, I don't want to just open my mouth and let her fly. I want to just wisely and carefully handle the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that I will rightly divide the word, but I'll also be able to speak that word with wisdom and understanding so that those that hear may be able to understand. Paul was so careful in this area. He was so careful. He says, I want you to pray for us. The door of utterance would be open, and pray that we would have the ability, once that door is open, that we may make it clear to others. Pray for the ability. For years of my life, I have had the opportunity to talk to several. I'm not one of those individuals that keeps, you know, I talked to 1,000 people over in all my years of my life. That's not me. I'll let God keep the records. But having said that to you, I have talked to several people. Look this way. Do you know that my knees still shake? I still get a little tongue-tied. I still thinking when I hear that dog barking, I hope it's not some bulldog. Dogs make the worst. I love dogs, but they make the worst kinds of moments for visitation. Because follow what I'm getting at. That person will open the door about that wide, looking at me, holding on to the dog. Yes, I'm thankful they're holding on to Junior. Yes, I'm glad of that. But I know automatically when they open that door that much, it's going to be about a minute, if that, visit. I remember one time stopping at a house. Guy was outside with his dog. I'm not talking about a big one, just a little one. I think they have more bite than those big ones sometimes. But I full-on watched this gentleman. He saw me getting out of the car. I don't know if I had anybody with me or not, but I got out of the car, and that dog was coming right at me. I thought, well, surely this guy will do something about this. Nope. And that dog jumped up and bit me right there. That guy didn't say, I'm sorry, or anything of that nature. I now kind of limping a little bit. I walk over to him, give him an invitation to our church, and left. Have I been back since? Yes, but I'm more cautious. But what I'm getting at is this. It's one thing to ask God to open those doors for you, but it's another to come alongside that prayer and say, Lord, when you do open the door, help me to have the ability to say what I need to say. Let your speech be always with grace. And here in this context of Scripture, we see that there is this great challenge from the Scripture as Paul is finishing out this letter to the church at Colossae. He is saying to them, I want you to continue in prayer. I want you to be committed to pray. I want you to be cautious when you pray. And I also want you to pray for opportunities. I want you to pray for those opportunities. So I ask you this morning, as you consider this moment of prayer and this message on prayer, some of you have heard several messages on prayer in your Christian walk. Don't ever think you've arrived at it. At least I don't, because I know I haven't. But let me ask you three questions in closing this morning. Will you make a new commitment today to pray? You know you ought to. And I'm talking more about than just bowing your head and say, Lord, thank you for the day, thank you for the food, amen. You ought to do that. But more than that, will you make a commitment to pray? Will you make a new commitment today to be consistent in your prayer life? To not just start and stop, but say, Lord, help me to just be more consistent in prayer. Then today, will you make a new commitment to pray for others. In your list, if you have a list, on your list as you pray, are there people there that you pray for to be saved? I trust there is. But if there isn't, you need to put them on your prayer list. Because some of the most fruitful experiences that I've had along the way, I can tell you, have been moments that have been bathed in prayer, either by me or others that have advanced the prayer for that individual to come to know Jesus as their Savior. Will you commit today to pray for others? I read that early African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular in their private devotions and their private time with the Lord. Each one reportedly had a separate spot in the thicket where he would pour out his heart to God. Over time, the paths to these places became well-worn. As a result, if one of these believers began to neglect prayer, it was soon apparent to the others. They would kindly remind the negligent one, "Brother, the grass grows on your path." This morning, as you have heard this message, would you say that, quote, grass has been growing on your path of prayer? If so, today, renew your commitment to get back to the importance of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. It's touched my heart, not only in my study, but also in the time of preaching it. Father, I pray that in our lives we would be people that are not, if you would, satisfied with our prayer life, but that we would be growing in that, this important area that you have called us to do, that we're to always to pray, always. Father, I pray that this morning, as the Holy Spirit of God has touched hearts, that people will respond, obey you. In whatever area you have touched their hearts about this morning, if it is a matter just to begin to pray, if it's a matter of just beginning to get more consistent in prayer, or if it is to be more earnest in praying for others, not only the unsaved, but the saved as well. We are so prone to be weak in the area of prayer. Oh, help us, Father, to grow in this area. As a church, help us to be given over to the strong activity of prayer. We can do more after we have prayed. Help us to be a church that, if you would, really focuses on this Bible command. It's just as important as seeing people saved, just as important as tithing. It's also important for us to be given over to prayer. Father, as you look down from heaven, do you see Calvary Baptist Church being a place of prayer? I don't know what you see, Father, but I trust that we would develop this practice more and more in the life of our church. Father, but I believe it really begins in individual hearts and lives. For those that have gotten away from the practice of prayer, help them to come back and cry out to you, Lord, help me to be more consistent. For those whose lives this morning, they're struggling with some unconfessed sin, they're dealing with a spirit of unforgiveness, help them today to deal with these matters so that they can clearly pray. So help people. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Now with our heads bowed, would there be those here this morning who